This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hello, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's July, what is it? Today's the 24th.
Yes.
Good
yes.
Lord.
I know.
Episode 700 and something. I don't know. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday Hump Day? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Oh my God, I'm here. Just barely. I don't know what is wrong with my brain, Glenn. I was at least able to set my alarm, which I didn't remember to set my alarm until 2 o'clock in the morning feeding. And I was like, oh, crap, I have to wake up for Wednesday. So I had to reset my alarm at 2 o'clock in the morning to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And I made it. However, I was not so smart yesterday.
Okay.
So when you have a baby, Glenn, there is a very, it's hard to leave the house with an infant. And I'm learning this because it's just, first of all, you have to pack so much crap because you never know if they're going to have like a blowout, if they're going to be hungry. So you try to kind of have an idea of a schedule and maybe hopefully get out of the house when they're sleeping. And so I go to Walmart. My big outing was going to be go to Walmart. Because it's really hot here, and now we're starting to get the mosquitoes.
That's what all mothers with babies do. Go to Walmart.
Exactly, and it's the closest store to me, of course, and they have everything, so you only have to go to one place. Now, do I love going to Walmart? No. But is it easy with a kid? Yes. So, as easy is a choice word. But my horses are all needing some fans in their stalls, and I have six stalls, so only like two electrical outlets, one on each side of the barn. So what I have to do is I have to go to Walmart, and this is what I proceeded to do, to get the fans and get all of the little different length extension cords and different splitters. Like, you know, every time it comes out of the extension cord, you need to have like the three prong thing to get to the three stalls, and then the next extension cord that goes all the way across the roof, which just stick with me here because I have weird stalls. You go across the roof and then you drop it down into the next little batch of stalls and then it goes through it. So I go to Walmart and I get all my, I get everything. I get the extension cords, the splitters. I have made a complete list of everything that I need. I get the extension cords, all these little splitters, these different three-prong attachments, the two-prong attachments. I've got the cord to go from the house all the way to the first stall. I've got the stall that goes to the end. I got everything, got every single thing I need. I've thrown the baby in the car. I've walked around Walmart with the baby. I've got him back in the car. I get all the way home and I didn't buy the fan.
And haven't we all done that?
Did you have the fan on the lift? I don't know what's wrong with me. I know. Of course, why would I have the fan on the lift, Jennifer? Why would I have the fan on the lift? It's only the whole freaking point of why I went to the dang store in the first place. I got all the stupid splitters set up and not a dang fan. And you know what? I couldn't go back. The second I pulled in the driveway, the little bugger started screaming, and I'm like, where the hell are the fans? I didn't get the fans. He's wailing. I'm like, forget it. Another day with mosquitoes in the heat for you jerks in the backyard. I'm not dealing with it again. What is wrong with me?
And haven't we all done it? I mean, we've all done it. We the main thing we go to the store for, we forget we buy $100 worth of other stuff. And we walk, go home and go, damn it, that's what I went to the store for.
But the whole project, Glenn, the whole, like, I get all of this, these little extension cords, so I'm stopping, I'm unloading all that into my trunk as I'm leaving the Walmart. You would think at one point I would be like, there's something else that's missing.
Yeah, the five biggest
the key
things.
Ingredients. It's not like I forgot, you know, half and half. I actually forgot the actual coffee. You know what I mean? Like, stupid. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to get back to the stupid Walmart, because it's not easy to get out of the house and into the car, and it's 115 degrees outside, so you don't want to be in the Walmart fast because your car heats up, and then you want to have the baby seat in the car, so you take the baby seat out of the car, put it in the shopping cart, go away in the, and then try to have a baby seat in a shopping cart and try to fit your food around the baby seat. That's really fun, too. I can't take it anymore.
Whose idea was the baby, Jamie? I'm just curious.
Not mine. Love him to death.
He is cute.
He's horrible.
That's the worst thing, is he's so dang cute, I can't get mad. He cries, and I'm like, I about fall apart because it breaks my heart. And I'm like, but I just, the rest of my life is falling apart, Glenn.
Somebody save us. Give us a call. Play the Wheel of Trivia this morning. EquityMFG.com, Wheel of Trivia. It's time to give us a call. 347-637-3238. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's really big show, Wednesday edition, once we have awarded an assortment of Perfect for Horse People prizes on this morning's show, we will be taking Europe by storm, by way of Horse and Country TV's Velvet Voice, that is Victoria Spicer. Next up, Tom Lamar, who is the news editor of Blood Horse Publications, stops by for a talk about a very dramatic and disturbing story from the racing world that has lit the social media community on fire. And bedding down for the night, thehorse.com tells us about bedding. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And before we go on with the Daily Winnies, I wanted to mention, when you give us a call at 347-637-3238, please follow the prompts and press 1. That lets Jennifer know that you actually want to play the game. So while we're waiting for those calls, we have several Daily Winnies today. In the first, Daily Winnie is actually a listener Daily Winnie. We don't get these too often, but yes, you can Facebook me or email us, and we will do a Daily Winnie for you. So that's what this is. This Daily Winnie is brought to you by Sarah Wallace, and she says, I would like to send a personal Winnie to my mother, Bonnie Wallace, for adopting two dogs that were on the kill list at my local animal shelter. These two dogs, which are boxers, Sadie and Newbie, got into a scuffle, and the owner decided to surrender them to animal control. By the time we saw them, they only had one day to live. So thank you so much to Bonnie for doing a good deed there and adopting two cute boxers. She even sent a picture along. So thank you, Sarah, for providing that Daily Winnie. And now I have one. Well, my Daily Winnie, it goes out to Colleen Peachy, who posted on our, actually, she posted on a favorable review on our app, on the Android site, on our new app, and she said, love HRN and their app makes listening even easier. I'm a fan of more than one of the Horse Radio Network shows, and their new app is super easy to download and use. It's not glitzy, just easy to use. Download and listen, period. Thanks, guys. So thank you, Colleen, for being the first one to review our app on the App Store. And we would, if you have nice things to say about it, please do hop on over to the App Store and leave us positive reviews. She gave us 5 stars. So we love you, Colleen, for doing that. And I think Colleen even posted on our Facebook page. She did. She posted a picture of chocolate peanut butter popcorn that she made off of a recipe from Eat Your Tart Out, our friend Kat. And she said, you guys totally need to try making it, just saying. And then she put a picture of it, and it does look wonderful. So you like popcorn, right? I think we've talked about this before. Chocolate peanut butter popcorn? That sounds good.
That's the best kind.
That really sounds good. All right, your turn for a Daily Winnie.
And Colleen, I know that your name is pronounced Colleen.
Oh, it's Colleen.
But remember
Sorry.
How Glenn yeah, is right. the weird O sound?
Hoof
he can't
hoof.
Say hoof right, right. So, yeah. So, it's I know it's Colleen. So, there you go, Colleen. I got it. All right. My Daily Weenie goes out to... I just had to let you guys know that my girlfriend, Black Caviar, has now found her baby daddy. Her future baby daddy, her future husband this year, is going to be a horse named Exceed and Excel. It's a stallion that is at Darley, just to tell you, in Europe, in Britain, Great Britain. And he stands at Dalham Hall Stud. And he is a horse by Dane Hill, which is a very well-bred stallion in Europe. And the horse's race record is 7. He's run 12 times and he's won 7 times. He is an unbelievable sprinter, or was an unbelievable sprinter. And he has proven himself to be pretty much the top sire over in Europe right now. So they are not going to breed him to a breed Black Caviar to a horse in Australia. They're actually heading over to Great Britain. So congratulations to Exceed and Excel, because you're about to be the father of the fastest baby ever on the planet ever, because these two sprinters coming together, dear God. So just congratulations to them, the connections, and to Black Caviar for now finally having a baby daddy.
Yay! Well, there you go. And of course, since the show on Monday, there was another baby born, and we're going to talk to Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV over there in England. A little that has to be the first thing we talk to her about, you know. So
exciting!
Yeah, that happened. Now I had a thing, you know. While Jennifer's lining up the callers to play, when you saw the pictures of them coming out, this was the day after she had that baby. Did you look that good the day after you had the baby coming out of the hospital?
Hell yes. listen, Glenn, I would like to say that I look that good, but I'm pretty sure half of my hair was stuck together on one side. The rest of my body was in so much pain. Bless her heart for walking out there looking that good. I mean, my God, who knows what's going on? She's amazing. That's the reason she's the dang princess, is because she's that amazing. And
well, I did,
good for her.
I did read that 2 hours before they made that appearance, her hairdresser showed up and a couple of other her personal assistants showed up. So she had some help looking that good the day after she had the baby.
I think I was limping. My hair was halfway. I had, like, you know, zits. I was a disaster. So, yeah, she's amazing.
You would have thought that it had been a month. You know, you really would have, seeing them come out of the hospital like that, not the day after. I was shocked. I really was kind of shocked. All right, let's do it. Let's play the wheel.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, that's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. And today, Jamie will, in a minute here, go over the three categories that we have. This is how it works. We'll ask you a question. And if you get the question correct, you will hear the bell. If you get the question wrong, you will hear the high school basketball buzzer, which Jamie has so missed. It's been a while since you've actually been here for the wheel. And
I know
you get 5 seconds to answer the question. Now that Jamie's back, we have to stick to that, because she's a stickler for that, and we've sort of gotten away from it a little bit. But so,
have you seriously not been doing that?
I've been a little generous. Let's just say that. And Helene is a bigger, big softy, so that hasn't helped.
Oh yeah, Helena's fault. Sure. Yeah, I know he's lying. I know.
All right, let's take our first caller. Is Lynn in Michigan?
Hello, Lynn. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
How are you?
I'm great for being early in the morning. Not quite as early as you, thank God. But this required an alarm to get up.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy how that works. All right, well, our categories this morning, Lynn, and by the way, have I talked to you on this wheel trivia before?
Oh, this is my third time getting through, so I kind of know the ropes. But no, I don't know if I've actually spoken to you, and you've been gone for a long time.
I know I have, and I'm gonna be gone after this too. But they just needed some help today. Selena was taking the day off. So, just a little bit about you. Tell me about your horse.
I have two. I have a thoroughbred Friesian cross and a gated Morgan.
Yeah, I would have remembered all that if you never talked. A thoroughbred Friesian cross. How does one come about making one of those?
Well, I can explain it to you.
I had the OTTB mare, and I found a guy with a Friesian stallion that would breed to anybody with $750.
That's how you do it.
Because I couldn't afford real Friesian. That's why.
Girl, I understand.
She's pretty cool, but she's sort of the stretch limo variety. She's really long in the body. Kind of high step and didn't really get the feathers. She got the tail and the neck.
Oh, nice. Wow, isn't that funny? You can kind of like pick apart which breed is what part of your horse.
Oh, totally. Totally. I'm not sure she wears a size 84 blanket. I mean, she's kind of like the horse from Spanky and Our Gang where you could line up like 20 kids across her
heel. I love it.
The Morgan is absolutely the opposite. He is the most compact, short-backed, and he's round as a barrel. It's like riding a sofa.
So you have a couple different saddles is what I'm hearing.
I do, yes, and they're all really wide.
Gotcha. Well, listen, let's get this started here. We've got a couple categories. They are not so vital statistics, 20th century history, and have you heard the category called A Scene at the Barn yet?
No, this is a new one.
Yeah, you did, Lynn. This is the one with the long, the long questions.
The essay questions.
Yeah, the essay questions, correct. Yep.
Like a word problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I answered that. And I don't remember if I was any good at answering those or not. So, what the hell? Give it a try. Since
you want one of those?
All that work into torturing people, we'll give that one a try.
All right. Glenn, should I give her the hard one or the easy one?
Give her the easy one. What the heck? Lynn, you didn't get it right last week, right? If I remember right.
I don't know if I did or not. I mean, I didn't call in, but answering on my own, like playing Jeopardy with the TV.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm mostly successful, but not always.
All right. Give her the easy one.
Okay. I'm gonna give her the easy one. This one I could figure out. The other one, I don't know what the hell Jennifer was smoking that morning. She wrote that question. All right. Bernard strolled into the barn on a Sunday morning, steaming cup of coffee in hand, looking forward to his first weekend without the rush of horse show prep in over a month. Now, this is where she was smoking. His face formed a cappuccino mustached frown, however, when he peered down the aisleway to see every horse in the barn already in full feed-me-now mode. Buckets were being rattled, stall doors being bashed with knees and hooves, all but one, that is. Door askew, Murdoch was nowhere in sight, but Bernard knew exactly where the old geezer was. Sipping silently on his rapidly cooling caffeinated beverage, an impatient metallic clanking confirmed his suspicions. Where was Murdoch, and how did Bernard know?
I would assume he was in the feed room and everybody else knew it, and they were all jealous.
That's close enough.
That's it.
It's like, damn it, he's getting thrown out the we're not.
Well, that was pretty good.
We all know that moment, though, when you walk in the barn, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Somebody's in the feed room. That usually cost me about $500.
That's right. All right, here we go. We're going to spin the wheel. Are you ready?
I am ready.
give it a little spin.
And we can hear it.
Oh, good.
Your wheel is mic'd. We can hear it.
Oh, good. That always helps. Oh, you got. We have some new prizes. I forgot to talk about the prizes. We have some new prizes on the wheel today, and you have won one of them. Lynn, you win a Horse Grooming Solutions healthy hair care grooming tote full of healthy hair care grooming products worth $75. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solution brands and that you've come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tax supplier or online at horsegroomingsolutions.com. We have used the Healthy Hair Care stuff for years and absolutely love it. So this is a great prize.
Awesome.
This is jam-packed full. And with the Friesian and Morgan, you're going to have lots of uses for all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of tail stuff and some mane going on here. And yeah. Cool.
Well,
awesome.
Terrific. So that's a $75 value. Thank you to Horse Grooming Solutions. And congratulations, Lynn. Hold on, Jennifer. Get your information.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Is that baby yours or Lynn's?
that would be my baby.
Does the baby want to play the wheel?
I'm sure he would love to. He's not so good at 20th century history, though.
Oh,
so
okay.
We might have to figure out something else.
All right, Kelly in Georgia. Next up.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Kelly. You're in Georgia. What part of Georgia are you in?
I'm in Augusta.
Augusta. Oh, my gosh. Are you out there by Pine Top?
I'm pretty close to Fort Gordon.
Okay, gotcha. One of my favorite eventing places in the whole wide world is just outside of Augusta. It's one of the most beautiful places. Oh, I love it. I love competing there. It's my favorite venue ever. So are you an eventer by any chance?
I am not. I just own horses, and I am actually interning with PR right now. So I figured I should probably brush up on some of my trivia.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, what type of riding do you do then?
I do, I'm a natural horseman, so I do just Pirelli, and I kind of just trail ride with my little walking horses, and I have 8 children, so
whoa!
They get a lot of work.
Whoa, wait
children,
a minute here.
So.
8 of let your
me,
own?
Oh, yeah. No, not biologically.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I have 4 of my own, and I have custody of 4 nieces and nephews. So.
Wow, aren't you a
saint? Oh, my gosh, bless your heart. Yeah, seriously. But you may have a great heart, but you're still crazy for giving birth to 4 children, by the way. You're insane. Anybody who does that more than once is nuts.
I agree. And then owning horses puts me over the top.
Yes,
definitely.
It does, my friend. Yes, it
definitely.
Does. Well, cool. Well, what category would you like today? Not so vital statistics, 20th century history, or a scene at the barn?
A scene at the barn sounds good. I have 5 horses that always do crazy things, so I think I'd probably be good at that.
Good God, you have 5 horses, 8 kids. When do you sleep, woman?
Well, the 8 children are very good at barn work. You have to learn how to put them to use, and then it makes everything a lot more simple.
Can I jump in here, though, real quick, Jamie? And I'm trying to help her out because she got 8 kids. This, if you take this particular question, Jamie and I don't even get it. So, and we have the answer in front of us. So I'm just saying, I'll give you an opportunity to choose one of the other categories if you'd like.
Okay. Well, give me not so vital statistics.
Okay, good for you.
Good save. We want her to win a prize.
Yes.
She's number 1 in Georgia. Number 2, she needs something free.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Not so vital statistics or 20th century history?
Not so vital statistics.
Okay. I'm going to try to find the easiest one out of this group. Okay. Good thing is it is a multiple choice question. What is the healthy cumulative average for a horse to sleep lying down per day?
Oh, I gotcha.
A, 40 minutes. B, 90 minutes, or do they lie down 3 hours a day?
And you said how, how many days? Say, can you say that first part again? Because it's actually
basically
supposed to be 15 minutes every 3 days. So, and that's not an option. And I could put that in the TLR book.
Okay.
So her answer is wrong.
No, you're wrong. How long do horses, here's the question. How long do horses lie down a day? 40 minutes, 90 minutes, or 3 hours?
I'm going to say 40.
Oh, we've tried so hard.
Because it's actually, if you look in the TLR book, and I'm telling you, it's in there, it says 15 minutes every 3 days.
TLR book. That might be recumbent sleep.
Wait a minute. Let her argue with Jennifer. Let her argue with Jennifer. She's the one that came up the answer.
Yes, let me argue. Let's call Rebecca. Can we call Rebecca on that one?
Yeah. Jennifer, you're being questioned.
Can we get a... Yeah, because they're supposed to lay down for 15 minutes for their REM cycle.
I'm sorry. We're not talking about REM cycle. I said, how long are they laying down per day? And they do lay down in a sternal position for about 3 hours. They lay down.
Okay, well, then that's a vague question.
Well, welcome to the Wheel of Trivia and Jennifer's Vague Questions. That's exactly right.
That is very, very vague.
All right, we tried.
Jennifer here, because I said, how long do they lay down a day? I even reread the question for you. I love you, Kelly. I'm so glad you called. But you
She's
are
definitely
so
from
wrong,
Georgia.
And I want you to call back.
All right, call
That's
back
okay,
again,
I'll
Kelly.
I'll call back and get it next time.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Good luck with all those kids.
All right, bye-bye.
We have a new caller, a vet in New Jersey, actually.
Hello.
Hey, Yvette, how are you?
Hi, good. I'm glad I got called, picked to call in for a win.
Are you going to argue with us about the answer?
No, I want a multiple choice too, though.
Okay, now let me just say, how long do horses lay down a day? Is there anything about that?
See, I would have said three hours.
That's right. That
Actually,
is the correct
answer. Period.
That is the correct answer.
That's the answer.
Oh, okay. Did I win? Or do I have a new question?
You get a new one. Now, here's your choices. Not so vital statistics, 20th century history, or as seen at the barn.
As seen at the barn.
You guys are all glutton for punishment. She's going to get it. I'm going to give it to her.
Uh-oh.
Jennifer was drinking when she read this one. I don't know what the heck she was talking about, but maybe you'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. Oops, I lost my page. Talk amongst yourselves for
a
second. I just
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. Barn Full of Buckskins Farm was all abuzz in anticipation of their first foal, due in about 2 weeks. When Sarah Jane peered into Abba Dabba's stall around lunchtime, the now vibrant rescued mare met Sarah with a placid over-the-shoulder stare. Sarah Jane, however, was alarmed, observing two sack-covered hooves protruding from the mare, one just ahead of the other. She immediately hit the vet's speed dial button when she raced to the feed room to retrieve the emergency kit that Dr. Jones had made up special just for foaling emergencies. What did Sarah Jane see that caused her to call the vet and run for the kit?
Her udders.
No.
Can you read it again? Because you were breaking up a tiny bit at one point.
Okay, so basically...
When you said tiny sack.
Basically, Sarah Jane peered into the stall, and she observed two sack-covered hooves protruding from the mare, just one just ahead of the other. And so now, what was the alarm?
The baby was coming out the hoof.
What about the hoofs?
They were coming out of vagina.
Jennifer, you got to start giving us questions that we understand, because I don't even know if she has the answer correct.
It sounded like you were breaking up a little bit again. It sounded like you said two sacks covered or something. I couldn't hear it.
Jennifer, can you please jump in here?
No, she does not have the correct answer, because there should be two hooves out. and they should be back covered. That's everything looks good. She can't see the udder from outside the stall. So that's what it is. But
I thought
the answer is definitely around hooves.
Okay.
Oh, so what's the answer?
So, Jennifer?
The answer is the hooves were pointing up. They were upside down, meaning that the foal was presenting upside down. Bad news.
See, I thought at first it sounded like two snaps. She saw two snaps, and I didn't hear the rest of it. That's why I said the udders.
All right, Jennifer. But, thank you for your help. Sorry, Yvette. You can give us a call back again.
That's all right. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to understand the questions before we start, though, Jennifer, because
I just don't understand, Jennifer, if I can play advocate here, the listener advocate, I don't understand why we could tell the hooves were upside down just by the question. Well, that's the whole point, is you have to infer. What could she have, if I had told you, then it wouldn't be a tricky question, would it? You have to infer.
I would have said
she
ran back.
All right.
Well, you gotta know this, like, though. We warned her not to take this question. So.
We did. We warned everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Well, we only gave one thing away today, but it was a good thing. It was the Horse Grooming Solutions by Healthy Hair Care. We had a whole bunch of other new stuff on the wheel that we're not going to have time to do anymore here because our show is jam-packed. But we had a new briar on the list today, Jamie, and it's the most requested one right now. And do you know what it is?
Black caviar.
No, Sergeant Reckless. They have a Sergeant Reckless one. And it has he has the little blanket on that has his Marines emblem.
She.
I keep doing that. It has the Marine emblem on it and all the little badges that the horse want. It's really cool. That'll be on next week too. So Sergeant Reckless will stay for next week.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, all right, let's go. We don't have a commercial here in this break right now, Jamie, so we can go right to our next segment, which is this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And, of course, it's our time of the week when we have Victoria Spicer that joins us from horseandcountry.tv. And, of course, we have a congratulations for her today and for the entire country over there. You guys have been just drinking solid since 2 days ago.
Well, we've had a lot of baby chat on the news. I don't think there's anything else happening in the world apart from a baby's being born.
You know, I was watching some of the news coverage over here, and it's been the same way, believe it or not, over here. It's been nonstop news coverage. But what can you say after about 10 minutes? I mean, they're doing hours and hours of this coverage about, and then they just run out after about 10 minutes of what to say. She had a baby. It's cute. There you go.
I know. Last night I turned over to our news channel and they had the cameras focused on the door that Kate and William were going to come out of with the new baby. So they must have just filmed the door for about an hour and talked about what might happen.
That's online. That is live online on the Daily Mail, is the shot of that door. And it's, that's what they're doing. Hi, by the way, Victoria, missed you.
I know. Congratulations to you. Never mind. Kate and Will's baby. You have a new arrival.
I do, and mine is way prettier than theirs. Just so you know.
Is he in line to the throne?
Not quite, but he will. He'll get he gets whatever he wants. So really,
he might as well.
Exactly. No, I have another friend that lives in England and she was saying that it's kind of like just a massive amount of a swell of pride for their country when people come together for something like this. Do you feel that? Is this country abuzz with country pride because of this baby?
I'm not sure. I mean, everybody's been interested in it, but it's it is getting a little bit overload on the news. And whenever people go to Buckingham Palace or the hospital and all the journalists speak to the dedicated royal fans that are outside, they're never from Britain. They're always like visiting from Europe or from America. And so I think everyone's quite excited about it. But, you know, we've got another eventing royal baby coming along with Zara Phillips, and that baby's an equestrian baby, so it's much more exciting.
I agree.
Another polo player in the royal family coming up.
Indeed.
Well, let's get to the news stories. That there is other things going on, believe it or not, over in Europe right now. And one of them, Jamie brought the story to us. It was a breaking story when we were on the air Monday morning. And now this has hit social media all over the world. And you know which one I'm talking about. First of all, it's hard for us in America to think of a lot of a different McDonald's over your way. So, but anyway, go ahead and talk about this story.
Yes. Well, actually, I forget that it's gone global already, but it is indeed the story of the lady who tried to ride her horse through a McDonald's drive-thru. And when she was refused, she took the horse into the restaurant, which just horrifies me because I don't know about McDonald's over there, but over here there's all tiled floors, and I can't think of a surface worse for taking a horse on. If it had shoes on, it must have been like a ballet dancer. She's lucky, you know, she's lucky to get away with a fine and not a horse with a broken limb. So, I have to say, I don't think she's done the world of horse owners much good, considering it doesn't appear to be like.
Is she breaking up for you, Jamie?
Yeah, sadly.
Say that last part again. You were breaking up
more.
A bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yep.
Good. Well, I was saying that I don't think she's portrayed horse owners in a very good light by by this little stunt. So, it's caused much humor, but I kind of wish she hadn't done it. But lots of people have tweeted us and said that they've taken horses through driving.
Oh, yeah.
So it was obviously.
That's what surprised me about this. Do we know why she was declined service at the drive through, which is outside?
They said health and safety.
What? It's outside.
I don't know about you guys, but over here, anything that people want to do, they just get declined on the basis of health and safety.
Because over here, we have a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, that have done this. You know, it happens pretty much all the time. Out in Norco, California, which is a horsey town, they encourage you to ride up. They even have corrals right outside of the restaurants where you can tie your horse while you go in and eat.
I like this. I think we need to be like that more. But maybe in a town like Newmarket or Lambourne, which are big racing towns, and there you have things like pedestrian crossings or at horse rider height instead of pedestrian height, and there's just horses everywhere. And I could imagine it in a town like there. Manchester, maybe not so much. That's not the most horsey place in Greater Manchester.
Gotcha. Well, and then it looks like England and the U.S. are going to be doing battle here. Tell us about that. We have a chance to whoop you guys.
You do, indeed. Well, there's a very famous polo match called the Westchester Cup, and you don't have it very often. I think it's kind of declared every few years or so, and it's been a long, long time since they last held it, but it's been arranged, and so you guys are coming over here this Sunday, and we're going to see who's victorious, England or the USA.
Do we know the U.S. team? Is it a certain team from the United States, or is it
this is going to test my powers of pronunciation. And it might have changed since we were sent the news, but we've been told it's Nick Roldan, Mark Gandhi, Mike Azzaro, and Polito Pierres. Apologies if I've completely mispronounced any of those names.
It doesn't matter. They're all just good-looking polo dudes, right?
Indeed.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what you say. I know Nick Roldan's a hottie, but it doesn't matter what you say. You just know that everybody on the field is going to be good looking because it is a requirement for polo players to be hot.
Exactly. Apart from the patrons. They don't have to be hot. They just have to be rich.
No,
but
just a player.
But interestingly, our England captain, Luke Tomlinson, he is married. His brother, Mark Tomlinson, is married to Laura Bechtolsheimer, the Olympic dressage gold medalist. So there's a nice equestrian connection for you.
Oh, wow. Huh. Very good. And when's that
happening? She's on the 12th, Mark.
July 28th.
It's this Sunday.
Okay. So yeah. When we talk to you next, we can jeer at you then.
We will see. And I won't be back for 2 weeks' time. So if you do win, I'm hoping you've forgotten about it by then. So next week, it's just Hickstead again. So I'm putting on my Hickstead hat and heading to the press office. So I will be absent next week, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you, I guess. And Lucinda Green is a big contributor of yours for videos at horseandcountry.tv, right?
Indeed, and we're now on episode 5 of her 6-part series that's on TV channel itself, which if you aren't in the UK, hopefully you'll be able to buy soon on Horse Hub.
Oops, I think we've lost Victoria.
Oh, no.
Yep, she just disappeared, actually. So I hope Victoria, if she's listening, she can give us a call back. But I think we've lost her at this point. Her connection was not great from England today. It's all that party and everybody's calling each other and all wild over there. But I really did watch the news here for a little while for the other day, and it was like, okay, it's after 5 minutes. What do you say? You're repeating yourself now. It's getting ridiculous.
News stories are like that, though. I mean, seriously, royal baby or, you know, the chick from Phoenix that killed her boyfriend, it's the same crap over and over. Every website, every news story is like that. So, you know, at least it's a happy story as opposed to an awful story. And that's, I think, what...
We had Victoria back, and now she's gone again. So I think she's having trouble.
Well, just to cover one thing on their website that I saw that's like the cutest thing ever, it's a first pony blog on horseandcountry.tv, and you can submit pictures of your first pony. And it's, oh my God, little kids and ponies. It's the cutest thing ever. So check it out on horseandcountry.tv. You can put your own. You can rate everybody else's. It's really adorable.
I love Billy and the little paint pony. That is a cute little pony.
I love Holly, the one who's about to buck off its child.
Oh, yeah, going over the little jump. Holly decided she didn't want to jump that day.
I ain't jumping that. That's so pony right there.
Yeah, it's all pony. Ponies are cute, you have to admit. Not just mine, but everybody's. But
yeah,
mine's
you need to submit
cute.
Your pony.
I do. I need to submit my ponies, especially cute. I'll wait till he fattens up a little, though, before I submit him. I'm accused of anything. We got my pony to trot while we're waiting for Victoria if she comes back here. We got my pony to trot for the first time yesterday. We hadn't seen him trot yet because he hasn't had the energy to trot yet. And because he's so darn skinny, his legs are all gangly and they go everywhere. So, Jennifer, I actually was the one trotting him, so I really didn't get to see. So what's his trot like, Jennifer? You're on mute, Jennifer. Boy, we're having all kinds of stuff today. Jennifer, we can't hear you.
Yeah, there I am.
Oh, there you go.
You can hear me now.
Yes.
It's a lot less scary than I anticipated. I was in fear of his trot because you're not kidding when his legs go every direction. The front two point out, the back two point in. It's scary. And he trotted, and he only was trotting on 3.5 tracks, which was pretty darn good.
Well, he definitely didn't trot for very long, and then he was tired. So, poor little guy. But he is getting better every day, so he's fun. I'm having fun with my new pony. It's good to have a pony again. Well, let's do this. It looks like Victoria's just gone, and we're not going to be getting her back. So you can find all of those stories that you ever want to see over at horseandcountry.tv. They do have some good stuff up over there, and we're sorry for the technical difficulties. Skype is not always cooperate with the international calls. So let's go to our song of the day. Something different for you today. I have a song called Equine by Bren Hill. So let's take a listen, and we'll be back to talk about a story that has taken the social media been all over the place and is not necessarily the happiest of stories, but Jamie's going to bring that to us in just a minute.
Stormy throws her head. She don't like the sound of lead ripping through the sky on a cool, clear autumn morn. When she high drops back home, she can't stand to be alone. She's been that way since the day that she was born. But I love her anyway. I wouldn't trade a single day. Riding for another day to be alive. The wind in her long black mane, she's the only thing that keeps me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. Mind all his own, Bud was hard as a stone. He threw me to the ground a dozen times or more. Running down the road, cussing cause I'd just been thrown. All the way back to the old brown double barn door. But I loved him anyway, and I wouldn't trade a single day. Riding for another day to be alive. The wind in his long gold mane was the only thing that kept me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. There's a fire burning in me still. A cold heart. But I am willing to get back on no matter how hard I fall. And I think of them days sometimes to ease my troubled mind. Every time my back steps against the wall. He's one tired old faint, he's a little less kin than kin. I see the hesitation in his eyes. I lift a little saddle on him. He kicks him in the sides and they're gone. Lord, I can't believe how the years roll by. How I love that little boy, riding high like Gene and Roy, fading like a hero into that western sun. The wind in its thick gold hair. I close my eyes for a moment, I'm there. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. Equine.
Well, that was
Bren, are you there?
Yep, that was Equine by Bren Hill. Thank you so much to Bren for allowing us to play his music. And it looks like we have a caller. Jennifer's going to try and Jennifer, go ahead and try and get our next guest on here. But we have a caller with a question about our new app. So do you mind, Jamie? We'll take that quick. Happy Barbie from New Jersey. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Hold on. Let me take you a speaker. Hold on.
What is she
and
doing?
Walk away from the fans. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was with the horses. I'm sorry. And I was near the fan. I just took you off speaker.
There you go. Okay.
Is that better?
Yep.
Is that better?
Yep.
Yeah. I went to, on my Mac, I have a laptop, MacBook Pro. I went to the app, and I'm new with this. I went to the app store, and I typed in Horse Radio Network, and it said nothing available under that name.
You, well, hundreds of people have downloaded it now, so we know it's working. And there are links.
Is that how you do it, though?
Yes, and I'm not sure why, because when I search for it, I do find it. Now, this is a phone app. It's not for your computer, obviously. Yeah, this is a phone app. These are apps for your phone. So
I have to go on my phone?
Yes, this is...
Oh, that's the problem. Oh, I have to go on my phone.
These are phone apps. Yeah, there's the problem.
All right, I'll try that, and I'll Facebook you back.
It either works for iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch, or the iPod, one of those.
Oh, hey, if you got a second, I just wanted to let you know that I signed up for that safety course you guys did on last Thursday.
Oh, great. Yeah.
With Dr. G.
Yes.
And Kelly Siegler. And
yes.
I signed up, and I'm so excited, and Ada is going to come and audit with me, and I'm going to bring my horse guest on, so I will take some photos and a couple little videos and whatnot, and I'll get back to you on it. But it's not until October.
Okay, great. Well, terrific. I'm glad you did that. That's terrific. Well,
yeah, it's only an hour away from me. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Barbie.
Okay. I'll let you know how I make out. I'll Facebook
okay.
you.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Yes, it is.
That's hilarious.
She's
awesome. You don't need an app for your computer when you have internet.
You have the website. Just go to the website. I did want to say
that
there are now links for those people who are having trouble finding the app. There are links on every one of our websites you can go to, and go to horseradionetwork.com. You'll see big links there for the Android and the iPhone app. And you can click on that, and that will take you to the website that has it, and then you can subscribe from there. So, but it is there as well. And we've had hundreds of people download it, so I know it's working.
Absolutely. Well, hey, our next guest is on Lane Glen, and I'm
not quite yet.
This is one of.
But she's getting him on the line now.
Oh, okay.
Let me give you a little background
on this story here. It's a story about a horse, and you guys know that I am a huge racing fan. I am a huge thoroughbred fan. I love the entire sport. I think it's great, and I think that the old retired racehorses are what give me such great talented horses to ride after their careers are done. So to me, the off-the-track thoroughbred is such a fantastic thing and something that is so precious, and I love following racing stories, and I love getting involved in it and the excitement of it. And we've got a guest, Tom Lamara, who's actually been on our show before. He is a news editor for the Blood Horse, and we've got a story that is going on that is not so good right now. It's actually a horrible story, but I'm hoping the light at the end of the tunnel is something is going to come out of this to where something good is going to come out of this. I'm sure. Tom, good morning.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Sorry we have to have you on for a story like this. Can you give everybody a brief overview on Monsanto?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. it's created a lot of stir over the last couple days. So Monzante was a horse that had won a Grade One stakes maybe 5 years ago. And, you know, he had changed hands a couple of times. And, of course, the horse got older, and he couldn't compete at that level anymore. And last weekend, he was racing at a smaller track in Louisiana for a $4,000 claiming price, which means that the horse was for sale, which is not unusual in horse racing, as we know, in this country anyway. And the horse was injured, and he was eventually euthanized. The earlier reports were actually inaccurate that the horse had been euthanized on the racetrack. He was actually removed from the track in a brace or a splint or whatever. And according to our latest reports from the Racing Commission in Louisiana, the owner and the trainer decided that they would put the horse down. There is debate over whether the horse could have actually been saved and had a useful life or not. So what what created the stir on Sunday and Monday turned out to not entirely be the truth, but the bottom line is that the horse is no longer with us. So,
and this is a horse that you said it won a grade one. It competed in several graded stakes, mm-hmm. was second in a couple grade two stakes races. These are all very good races. And this horse, Monzante, was in the stable of Judmont, was trained by Dale Roman, Steve Asmussen, all of these top trainers that had their hands on this horse, top trainers, top owners, top barns that had their hands on this horse. And he just continued to be passed around. And granted, those guys are all, you know, they think that they're doing well by the horse. He gets claimed and they send him somebody else. He gets bought and that happens. But what's happened after all of this is that he lives in all these fancy barns and the decline of his career continued. And he is a horse that went from these top graded one stakes races all the way down, picked all the way down to a really, I don't want to say terrible, but pretty terrible track with running in the bottom of the barrel claiming races. And he was not young. Am I right? Wasn't he 9 years old?
I believe so, yes.
So 9 years old, he, to me, in my opinion, and several other people's opinion, this horse should have been retired a long time ago. But what has happened is he runs at Evangeline Downs. Somebody's trying to get, you know, pretty much every penny out of this horse that they can get. He had been off for 8 months. The story kind of is coming out now that he had actually been on a veterinary watch list. The vet passed him as sound before the race, and obviously he was done with racing, and somebody should have stopped this horse. And you know, the question is responsibility. Who's responsible for looking at these horses and going, you know what, let's end this now? You know, unfortunately, the racing community is under scrutiny all the time from animal lovers and animal rights groups. And this happened in a way that just points a really big, ugly finger at the racing community and says, this is what happened. You know, he didn't love to race anymore. He either, you know, he was sore, he was older, he's 9 years old, for God's sake, and he's running in $4,000 claiming races. And whose job is it to take responsibility for this tragic story? And I'm sure that there's lots of these. This one has just garnered a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, there, it's not unusual for this to happen. Of course, it's kind of unusual for a horse who had won or had raced in a grade one. There are plenty of horses, you know, who never ran in stakes races, you know, who were claimed multiple times. Horses pass vet checks before they race. Not in every jurisdiction, however, I will say that. And, they break down. They are saved sometimes. They're euthanized. This has raised a lot of questions that can't be answered right away. And I think what this incident has done is, number one, it created a petition that had about 1,000 computerized signatures.
Change.org, yeah.
Right. It was sent to the NTRA, which issued a statement, but nothing any different than what had been issued before, because this is a very complicated issue. There have been some, you know, wild suggestions thrown out on Twitter and on blogs about how to fix it. Well, it's really not that easy because, you know, you still have the issue that a horse is owned by somebody and it's that person's property. And, you know, let's face it, it's really hard to legislate or mandate, how people treat horses, with the exception of if they're abused. And, racing a horse that passes a vet check, you may have some trouble proving that that's abuse. And again, it's good because it's put it back into the spotlight. because quite frankly, you know, this happens, you know, it's, you know, say 2 out of every 1,000 horses on average may break down in a race. They suffer a fatal injury. That statistic has held fairly static, although it's come down in the past 5 years, I think, particularly on turf courses and synthetic. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. The question is, what makes one horse's life more important than another horse's life? And this is something that the industry needs to address.
What was it about this story that you think caused it to catch fire? Because you're right, this happens all the time. I mean, you know, we have a name to this one, and we have a story behind it, and it was a grade one and all of that, so it, you know, it has a certain mm-hmm. appeal. But this happens every day on racetracks across this country.
Yeah, well, what happened here is that the incident was seen by somebody, either on TV or live, and quite frankly, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, it created, you know, a chain of either tweets and emails. Somebody created a petition. And, you know, with the new social media, things get out there a lot faster, and it's much easier to spread information, which is not a bad thing. The only drawback to it is when the information is wrong and personal attacks are made. But the bottom line is that the word got out. One or several people took the bull by the horns. You know, they created a petition, and it caught fire. But horses break down, as you said, you know.
Well, let's not overlook too the power of the blood horse. You guys posted that blog, which I have up right here right now, from Steve Haskin, and that also helped. I mean, that was the impetus. Those were the ones I saw referenced on Facebook and making the rounds, you know, all the last 2 days. So, I mean, and the comments, I got to say, comments on that blog were very interesting, too. There were a lot of terrific comments on that one.
Well, Glenn, too, you guys, you're missing the idea here that the reason I think that this story caught fire, I mean, granted, it's on the Pollock Report and Daily Racing Form, too. Everybody's covering this story about Manzante. This is a horse that was bred by Judmont Farms. He raced for Prince Khalid Abdullah. He ran for Dale Romans. Steve Asmussen. This horse was at the very top tier. He won half a million dollars, almost $600,000. And I think what really catches fire is the fact that he was at the top tier and the trickle down of his career. Why didn't somebody step in and retire him? How can you let this thing happen is, I think, the main question that people are asking.
Well, you know, there has been an effort, you know, to try to create some kind of accountability. And there are breeders and owners who regularly contribute to retired racehorses through sales now and other kind of fundraisers, et cetera, et cetera. There's always that question, though, of, you know, when a horse changes hands, it becomes another person's responsibility. As far as the Manzante thing goes, you know, those blogs, including the one on our website, were written before all the facts were out. The news stories came out, I think, on a Monday and then again on Tuesday about the fact that really that the owner made a decision to put the horse down. He may have been able to have been saved. So then you run the question of, well, then, you know, can you really bring in all these other people who previously had a connection with the horse, because the horse really wasn't euthanized on the racetrack. The owner made a decision, so it comes down to one person. That's the danger of throwing stuff out there ahead before the facts come out. And quite frankly, with social media, it happens all the time now. So
Yeah, it really does. But my hopes in bringing this story to our show, too, is that in my mind, I can see, and I want to run this by you because you're in the thick of the racing world. Is there a way that somewhere down the line to stop this from happening? Because I live in Arizona. We have a really crappy track here that I've been to, and I've seen the 8-year-olds running and the 9-year-olds running. And is there a way that we can have Monzante's Law? And in Monzante's Law, it's a law that's passed, and it stops, like Ferdinand, it stops these horses. It mandatory retires them at 8 years old or at 7 years old. I have an Alpha-Track Thoroughbred that ran until he was 8, and to me, that's too long. And can we have a Monzante's Law in the future passed to have a mandatory retirement age for these horses? Is that ever going to be possible?
Oh, well, the standardbreds have a mandatory retirement age.
Yeah,
I think it's 14.
Exactly.
However, standardbreds have an entirely different makeup and bone structure, and quite frankly, hardly ever break down. It's actually
right.
Quite rare. Well, you're going to run into a problem, you know, with people who actually have older racehorses, who quite frankly are sound and can race.
Well, how about we change it then? How about we make it that if they're entered and they don't win the last 10 races they haven't placed in the top three, they can't race anymore. You know, you could do it based on performance.
Well, the greyhound industry has a rule like that. They're ruled off, or however they say it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Retired or ruled off or something like that. But, you know, I'm sure
Let's
a lot
get
of...
Th- up to that. It's embarrassing that the greyhound racing has better rules for their animals than thoroughbreds, and that the standardbreds have a mandatory retirement age, and we don't, and the thoroughbred world doesn't. I, to me, we've got to get something done about that. I'm getting on my soapbox, dang it, Tom, and I'm ready.
Well, it's really, really complicated. And, you know, to try to get consensus from owners, trainers, organizations, and quite frankly, racetracks who have to deal with a declining horse population and trying to fill races, this opens up a major, major can of worms. Plus, you also, again, as I said, you know, you have, you know, the private property issue, and I'm not a lawyer, but maybe even restraint of trade, you know, if somebody says that you can't race this horse, it's perfectly sound. So I think there will be a debate, but if you're expecting a quick resolution of this, you may be disappointed. And the worst thing that can happen is some kind of a, you know, knee-jerk scheme or structure that ultimately fails, because it's happened before in this industry. And, you know, they really need to take their time with this, because there's a lot involved in it, so.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. We're going to have Monzante's Law, Tom, and I understand. I want Haskins to do a blog about the fact that we can bring in rules from the greyhound and standardbred world, put it all together, and someday down the line have a performance-based, age-based retirement, mandatory retirement. I love the idea. I'm on it. I'm going to work on it.
All right.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming on and being
thank
a
you.
Part of the show and the discussion and putting it on the blood horse. And, you know, a lot of times I think that stuff like this gets a little bit squashed because they don't want it out and it's not possible. And you guys embraced it and you went for it. And I'm proud of the blood horse, and I'm proud to be a magazine subscriber and to talk to you I'm proud of the whole horse industry for getting behind this.
We actually are usually criticized for not covering, hotter important issues, which isn't true. But
yeah.
Quite frankly, that comes with the territory. It's frustrating. Yes, we're late with things, but, you know.
But then you want to get them right, too.
You wanted to get a news story first, and... You know, I think that that's how it should be done with issues like this, but other people have their own opinions, so we deal with it and move on. So,
thank you, Tom.
Well, thanks
All right.
for dealing with it. I appreciate it.
Okay,
and Monzante does too. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, if you want to sign that petition, you can go to change.org and sign it. You can sign it, and it's just search for Monzante to get the link to get it done. But, you know, there needs to be the NTRA needs to investigate how this happened and check out Evangeline Downs. I mean, that's not – it's a very low-level track, and I'm hoping that they – all of the NTRA rules do not apply at Evangeline Downs. So because it's a safety and they're not an alliance with the National Thoroughbred Racing Association. So it needs to be accredited. We need to have all of these places that are not accredited looked at by the NTRA just for the sake of the horses. I'm done.
Okay.
I'll leave you alone now.
All right.
Thank you for letting me cover this stuff.
You're welcome.
For the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Well, speaking of the blood horse, they are related to our thehorse.com, and Michelle Anderson is digital editor of thehorse.com. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, I need to give a digital wave to Tom as we pass in the virtual hallway.
Well, I appreciate you guys allowing us to start a little late because it was a breaking story and it was something that we really needed to discuss this morning. And as you can tell, Jamie has no passion at all about this topic. So
none at all.
So we're going to go from that to a more kind topic, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. A little bit lighter subject. And we're transitioning over to bedding, stall bedding. So we have this new slideshow that we just posted last week. It's still on the homepage. And it is about common bedding options for your horses. And it's amazing, something that seems so simple, you get into it, and it's much more complicated than what it seems on the surface. And so Dr. Jones is here to talk to us a little bit about making good decisions for bedding down your horses in the stall, thinking about their health and comfort. So, Dr. Jones, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. I missed you.
We missed you, too. We hope you had a good time, though.
I did. And next week, I'll be talking about the ISIS conference that I just came back from. Why I wasn't here last week, we were covering the equitation science conference that was in the States for the first time in years. And so we'll be talking about that next week. But for this week's bedding, so I want to start out with...
I missed you guys, too, by the way. I missed you both. Hi.
Hi, Jamie. But for bedding, so why do our horses need bedding? What is the importance of bedding?
Well, how about I start off and ask Glenn and Jamie, what do they use for bedding?
I use pellets.
I don't want to answer that because I'm going to say something wrong, and then I'm going to get, in trouble for using the wrong thing.
It's all about learning. Come on, let's not be scared.
We use pellets. We use pellets.
Use pellets. I can get that.
I have shavings, but they're the kind of shavings that are like the thicker, heavier wood because we have mare motels here and they're out kind of outdoor stalls. So the wind blows everything out. So they're heavy wood pieces, chips.
And that is Arizona, too.
Correct.
Okay. And Glenn, in Florida, Ocala, you're using pellets. Why?
Because my little pony is a pig. And they're the ones that have worked the best for my piggy little new pony. So that's why, because I have a piggy pony. And can I say, before you go on, can I say that the horse husband not approved bedding is straw. We hate straw. I don't care if it's better for the horses. Straw is not horse husband approved. Now that I've gotten that out there,
let her finish.
Go ahead.
Let her finish.
Okay, so Piggy, you're saying just defecates, urinates a lot. You've got a lot of urine and manure to pick up, and that's what you're talking about with your little pony, correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. So, why wouldn't Jamie want to use pellets in Arizona for a horse that might have too much manure and urine in her stalls?
Well, partly because I can see why she doesn't, because partly because when they break down or when they grow or whatever they do, they do get a little dusty. So I think she would have a blow away problem. I know they're dusty. Is that
right?
What you're going to pick on me about?
No, I'm not going to pick on you about the dust and your pellets, even though I think about that a lot when I use pellets or see people use pellets. But anyway, the point is that there's not an absolute for every situation, because in Arizona, they would blow away and she wouldn't have bedding. So let's say she wants to use those pellets because they're easier to clean. And we're kind of rolling through some of your questions here, Michelle, by having conversation. But they're easier to clean. They you save money with the pellets because you're not exposing so many unused shavings or unused pellets because they absorb so much urine, and you're able to just scoop just the urine out with the wet pellets. So that's nice, but in Jamie's situation, in an outdoor open type stall, it would be a very poor choice for her. Mm-hmm. So again, situation dependent. And then Michelle, yeah, you can tell us what you use.
Oh, mine don't have any bedding. Mine are naked. I have loafing sheds. They're outside, and it's very sandy, loamy soil, and it doesn't matter. I can bed down the loafing shed. They just poop and pee in it, but they go dig a hole in the dirt, and they all each have their own little hole that they sleep in out in their paddocks. So
yeah.
I gave up, and it kept blowing away.
Yeah. And they're not sleeping in their urine or their manure where they're pooping or peeing or sleeping somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have the freedom of choice on that. And I have when it's been really kind of icky weather, I'll bed it down just to make it a little bit softer. But then they end up, it just blows away, or if I use straw, they eat it. So
really, all three of you come up on good topics here. Let's start with the last comment you made. It's a little bit softer. There's sores that horses can get from laying down if they're laying down on hard surfaces. So that's the primary reason why a lot of people use bedding in the stalls, is in case the horse does lay down, they have that soft area to lay on, as well as if it's a concrete or a rubber matted stall, if they're urinating on it, it becomes a very slick surface, and you want something to absorb up that urine in order to discard it, because you can't hose out that area every single day and provide a very safe surface for the horse to walk on. So that's really the reason we use shavings and straw in stalls, is for absorption, for decrease of ammonia, safety, and to decrease bed sores.
Now, Glenn said that he really hates straw. Why do you really hate straw? Is it the cleaning that's difficult?
Oh, jeez, yes. I mean, gee. Yeah. Well, we started with straw when we had our big barn with 25 stalls. And what a nightmare. I just said, if you're going to continue using straw, I'm not helping clean. Because it just, picking through every piece of straw. And then I never did it right. So I always got yelled at. So, yeah, it is not horse husband approved straw.
So there are situations that straw is a really good choice. And what would those be, Dr. Jones?
Well, the number one is newborn babies. Newborn babies have very sensitive immune systems, respiratory tract, and they will sniff up the small particles of sawdust and powdered pellets and cause some respiratory problems. And or the amount of bacteria that's on shaving gets brought into the respiratory tract or the mouth into these newborns, and they will get sick very quickly. So that brings you up to the idea of what's the problem with shavings is the fact that they can carry three different types of organisms on them without being wet or without having manure on them. These organisms tend to live on these shavings and can cause some infectious problems in young foals and lack of immunity horses.
And going back to the straw, I mentioned that my horses eat the straw if I give them straw. Is that a concern? Like, are my horses going to colic if I use straw out in their loafing sheds and they eat all of it?
There is a concern because it's more coarse and then it can get bulky in their intestinal tract, and so the impaction possibilities are higher. But it also doesn't have a lot of value and nutrients to them. So those are two good reasons why they shouldn't eat them. But there are a lot of mares that will eat it because they're so darn hungry after foaling, and they're lactating, and they're not getting enough hay. So a lot of people will switch out from the straw to the shavings fairly quickly because their mares are eating the straw.
Even when
feed your horse. Dang.
No,
come
even
on,
I'll tell you what though. Even
oh my gosh, I'm like. I put some out there because I thought I was going to be really smart giving and really nice. I'm like, I'm going to give you guys a little soft place to sleep. And then they start eating it. I'm like, seriously, guys? Like, you have this beautiful hay, but you're going to go eat that straw. Really?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We had horses, and when we were bedding with straw, that certain horses just will eat all the bedding. So they didn't have any bedding left by the time the morning came around. It didn't matter how much hay you gave them. They were just going to eat everything.
Yeah. Horses, I swear. But so... Now, another concern with wood chips is the possibility of having black walnut shavings. Can you tell us a little bit about black walnut and why that would be uber bad?
Yes, the black walnut has been known to cause founder in horses, and it's not necessarily the ingesting of it, it's the standing on seems to be a problem. So you have to know the source of your savings in order to get a good, a reputable person that's not going to have black walnut in their savings that's going to sell it to you.
So you want to get it from someone where you know it's going to be pine or cedar or... Okay. And is cedar okay for horses, actually?
Yeah, so it makes a great smell to the salt. So those are usually high to have that. I love a lot of people that use cedar because they have this wonderful smell about them.
Okay. And we're starting... You're breaking up just a little bit, Dr. Jones.
Oh, it's any better.
That's better. So if you're using bedding, do you need mats in your stall?
I have to have mats in the stall. And here's on the mats. The mats are wonderful for easy to clean, but the cracks between the mats are a great place to hold germs and infectious agents. So unfortunately, if you had a horse with strangles, let's say, now strangles didn't live in the environment more than 10 days, but you put a horse in right after that one because you shipped it off to the hospital and you just got between those cracks, there's always that chance that you could be spreading disease. Or you have diarrhea, which is more common, but common in boarding barns, and the salmonella diarrhea, it gets caught between those cracks, it will live in that environment for quite some time, and then your horse is eating hay off the floor, may ingest some of that salmonella. So you've got a good reason to have it. It's easy to clean. It leaves a nice level surface for the to not have to clean out, or the stall cleaner clean, so it's not stumbling and falling underneath the horse or anything else. But the downside is you really should seal the crevices to help keep the infection calm down.
Dr. Jones, you're breaking up a good bit right now. I don't know if you're in it. Good spot or not?
Trying to be in a good spot. Yeah, I'm trying to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
Is that any better?
That's a little better. Yep.
Okay.
Just don't move.
It's been that kind of day here on the show. Everybody's breaking up. We got listeners arguing with us. It's just been that kind of day on Horses in the Morning this morning.
So my last question. I think we're probably running out of time here, but I do want to ask about people like me who don't bed. Is that okay? People look at me strange. Like, people raise their eyebrows.
Yeah, but you have outdoor running sheds, right? Isn't that what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Jones, you're...
I think we lost her.
I think we're losing her completely.
I think we lost her completely.
And what's the point that you're making, Glenn, by saying you have outdoor running sheds?
We have never bedded our outdoor running sheds. Now, we've always made sure we cleaned them every day, so that they were clean, but we've always had, a situation where we've never bedded them.
Because there's really no need.
Right.
And the reason there's no need is they're not eating where they're passing their manure and their urine, and if you're cleaning it up, it helps.
Now, on the other hand, on the other side of that, I've seen outdoor run-in sheds that haven't been cleaned in months, and they're disgusting. So, there's...
Yeah.
They're putting hay in it, that's disgusting, too, because then the horse is basically in their bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and my horses, I have individual paddocks. They're 100 by 100 with the loafing sheds. And my horses, they have their bathroom spot, they have their eating spot, they have their standing in their shed spot, and they have their sleeping spot. They do not eat, poop, and sleep in the same place at all.
They're well trained.
Yeah, so when you get a new horse, you walk them around and say, okay, you go to bathroom here, you sleep
this
here.
This is here.
You violate the rules.
No, they are like... it's like clockwork what they do and where they do it. So,
well, that's the whole point of the stalls. The stalls are the place for horses to eat and for them to go to the bathroom. So you want to make sure that whether it's clean, and you just need to have products in the stall that's easy to clean.
And what about that ammonia smell that you get in barns with the urine in the stalls?
That's pretty bad.
Is that bad for our horses?
Yes, that's pretty bad in the respiratory system. You want to try to decrease that as you can, either cleaning more often or maybe using some sort of stall freshener to clean up the ammonia smell.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I do. Like, I really would like a barn. Like, I really would like a barn on a cold winter's day. I really would. But I do love having them out where it doesn't smell like ammonia.
All right.
I agree.
So, well, if anyone wants to check out that slideshow, it's on thehorse.com on the homepage right now. And then Dr. Jones is going to be joining us tomorrow for an Ask the Vet Live. We're going to be talking about hot weather horse care. It'll be an hour event tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. So if anyone's interested in that, you can register also on thehorse.com.
Dr. Jones, are you still there? Give out your website address.
And the website address is back up, Glenn, by the way.
Thank you.
It is FloridaEquine.com. No, thank you for the heads up on that. FloridaEquine.com.
Very good.
And our Facebook is Florida Equine Veterinary.
Okay, what she said was Florida Equine Veterinary Services. We're going to say goodbye to Dr. Jones because you're just breaking up on us too bad there. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And Michelle, it's been fun. It seems like it has been Blood Horse Hour here on Horses in the Morning.
It certainly has. And next week I'll be back to talk about this equitation science stuff. Jamie, you're going to love it. Cool stuff going on.
Awesome.
Thank you, Michelle. Thehorse.com.
Hi, little baby.
Hi, Lukey. Sorry, Daddy's trying to come in and be a part of the show.
We don't mind. Horses winning in the background and Jamie's baby screaming in the background. Both are okay with us.
Or a dog.
That's right. Okay. Get plenty of that. Thanks, Michelle.
It's a good place to be. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Well, it's time to wrap it up. Jamie's baby wants some attention.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
Dr. Jones losing her, Victoria losing her, fighting with listeners, babies crying. It's been a hell of a show.
Yeah, it has. You getting all up in arms, which, by the way, I thought you did a very good job with that.
I don't know. I think sometimes you guys pick on me for being
not on that topic.
But
Jennifer and I have both been on the backside of Penn National, which is the scummy version of the Louisiana track we were talking about. And, you know, the Pennsylvania version. And we've seen what, you know, goes on there. And I'm a firm believer in what I talked about is performance retirements. There's no reason if a horse has never won a race in 20 races and never been in the top three, why are we still running this horse, period? I don't care how. If he's three, I don't care. You know? Some are born to be runners and some aren't. It's the same for humans.
Yeah,
I was never born to be a runner and other people are. So, you know.
I look at Edward, who had the most unsuccessful career as a racehorse ever. This is my little guy got off the track, and he ran until he was 8 years old. And it just makes no sense. Thank God he's tough, and he's still, knock on wood, sound. But, you know, there's got to be performance limits, and that was my point of talking about this. And I know that, you know, guys in the racing world, it's hard to convince them that anything needs to change. But when greyhounds have it and standardbreds have it, how do we not have it for the thoroughbreds? You got me going again.
Everything.
Glenn, but,
we'll end with this. Everything always comes back to one thing. Everything always comes back to one thing: money. That's why we don't.
Money.
Exactly why we don't have it. That's exactly why.
That's why you don't have it.
That's exactly right.
I'm sure that's why.
That's exactly right. Well, let's call it a day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can find all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. You can also find us now on the app that we talked about earlier. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Some people were searching for Horses in the Morning on the App Store. It's Horse Radio Network in the App Store because it covers all of the shows. Now, the only thing, too, I had this question, too. You can't listen live yet. The technology is just not there to combine our two systems yet. When it is, we'll do that. But you can listen to the show immediately when it goes up after. Usually by noontime every day, you can listen to the current day's show. Let's see here. What else do we need to talk about? That's about it. Jamie, you're not going to be here Friday. Wendy is filling in on Friday. You're heading out to visit relatives, but you'll be back on Monday, right?
Yes, we're still on baby parade. Okay. This time we get to go to Los Angeles and parade the baby to Chad's brother and my sister-in-law, and they're awesome people.
Does he have
excited.
A little parade
and,
outfit, maybe with the top hat that, like, the band leader wears?
I'm still waiting to put his cowboy boots on him. He hasn't grown into his cowboy boots yet, so any day now.
And his little breeches, little riding breeches.
Oh, yeah. His dad won't let that happen yet. Yet, I say.
See everybody. Have a great day.
Bang, neuter, and gelf.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Jennifer.
Jennifer, if the train is traveling eastbound and one is traveling westbound at 100 miles an hour, are the hooves upside down? Is that what happened? She hates me.